not at once follow. Even though it follows, counsel will nonetheless confirm one's right opinion concerning good and evil. And it is also wrong to believe that precepts are of no use to madmen, for though by themselves they are of no avail, yet they are a help towards the cure. Both scolding and chastening rein in a lunatic. Note that I here refer to lunatics whose wits are disturbed, but not hopelessly gone. Still, it is objected, laws do not always make us do what we ought to do. And what else are laws than precepts mingled with threats? Now, first of all, the laws do not persuade just because they threaten. Precepts, however, instead of coercing, correct men by pleading. Again, laws frighten one out of communicating crime, while precepts urge a man on to his duty. Besides, the laws also are of assistance towards good conduct, at any rate if they instruct as well as command. On this point, I disagree with Posidonius, who says, I do not think that Plato's laws should have the preambles added to them. For a law should be brief, in order that the uninitiated may grasp it all the more easily. It should be a voice, as it were, sent down from heaven. It should command, not discuss. Nothing seems to me more dull or more foolish than a law with a preamble. Warn me. Tell me what you wish me to do. I am not learning, but obeying. But laws framed in this way are helpful. Hence, you will notice that a state with defective laws will have defective morals. But, it is said, they are not of avail in every case. Well, neither is philosophy. And yet, philosophy is not on that account ineffectual and useless in the training of the soul. Furthermore, is not philosophy the law of life? Grant, if we will, that the laws do not avail. It does not necessarily follow that advice also should not avail. On this ground, you ought to say that consolation does not avail, and warning, and exhortation, and scolding, and praising, since they are all varieties of advice. It is by such methods that we arrive at a perfect condition of mind. Nothing is more successful in bringing honorable influences to bear upon the mind, or in straightening out the wavering spirit that is prone to evil, than association with good men. For the frequent seeing, the frequent hearing of them, little by little, sinks into the heart, and acquires the force of precepts. We are indeed uplifted merely by meeting wise men, and one can be helped by a great man even when he is silent. I could not easily tell you how it helps us, though I am certain of the fact that I have received help in that way. Phaedo says, certain tiny animals do not leave any pain when they sting us. So subtle is their power, so deceptive for purposes of harm. The bite is disclosed by a swelling, and even in the swelling there is no visible wound. that will also be your experience when dealing with wise men. You will not discover how or when the benefit comes to you, but you will discover that you have received it. What is the point of this remark, you ask? It is that good precepts, often welcomed within you, will benefit you just as much as good examples. Pythagoras declares that our souls experience a change when we enter a temple and behold the images of the gods face to face, and await the utterances of an oracle. Moreover, who can deny that even the most inexperienced are effectively struck by the force of certain precepts? For example, by such brief but weighty saws as, "Nothing in excess. The greedy mind is satisfied by no gains. You must expect to be treated by others as you yourself have treated them." We receive a sort of shock when we hear such sayings. No one ever thinks of doubting them or of asking why. So strongly, indeed, does mere truth, unaccompanied by reason, attract us. If reverence reigns in the soul and checks vice, why cannot counsel do the same?